الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين صلوات الله سبحانه وتعالى is demanding from us to seek help through two things. One is sabr and the second one is salah. Sabr is interpreted in the tafsir as fasting. That means we should seek help through the fasting in one of the tafsir. And then the ayat moves forward and says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ. Here the ayat does not say وَإِنَّهُمَا. Both of them are hard. Instead the ayat says وَإِنَّهَا, which means that salat is hard to do except on those who have خُشُوعُ الْقَلْبِ. إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ, those who have the fear of Allah in their hearts. For them, it's not hard, in other words. Sabr is, which is the subject of my speech tonight, is something which is extremely emphasized in Islamic morality and we find that a person who exercises sabr and patience in all situations of his life is bound to be successful, because Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam has said in Nahj al-Balagha that لا يعدم الصبور الظفر وإن طال به الزمان. That means a sabur person, a person who exercises sabr and patience, never misses success. لا يعدم الصبور الظفر. That means he is not going to miss the success. He is always going to achieve the success. وَإِن طَالَ بِهِ الزَّمَانِ, although it may take a while, It may take some time. It is possible when we exercise patience and we go through certain tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our life, we may not get the results straight away, you know, in the same minute, in the same hour, in the same day, in the same month. Maybe it takes a while, but it's impossible for a sabur person not to achieve the success. That's something which is for sure. Also, in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find when he had some hard tasks, he used to perform prayers before moving out, before going out, and then he recited this ayat, wa innaha lakabiratun illa alal khashi'in. That means the prayers is certainly hard except on those who have khushu. It is narrated in Tafsir Ruhul Bayan that one person was traveling on a markab, on an animal, riding an animal going to the Hajj. In old days, there was, of course, horses and mules and camels that people used to ride in the desert. And those people who had nothing used to walk on foot, which is a lot of thawab. Even if you have something to ride, it is still a lot of thawab that you go for Hajj on foot. Imam Hassan alayhi salam did 25 Hajj barefooted, mashiyan wa rajilan, barefooted, that means on walking on his foot. I mean, not barefooted, but actually walking on his foot. That means not riding any animal. Although in some of those trips, the hadith says that the riwayat says that Imam alayhi salam had some of the very good horses or animals walking next to him. He had access to the animal, but he intentionally did not ride. And when somebody asked Imam Hassan alayhi salam about the reason, he said, I feel haya, I feel hesitant before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, when Imam is going to the Baytullah for meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be humble when we are going towards Allah. So Imam alayhi salam used to feel haya to go towards Allah riding an animal. So it's not the fact that he didn't have the animal to ride. He had the animal, but he's still going walking on foot. So we find that just like we have going for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam on foot, there's a lot of thawab. Even if you can afford going through different means of transportation, but you intentionally go. I know someone in the city of Rawalpindi in Pakistan, and this old man, he is about like 75 years old or 80 years old. He traveled from the city of Rawalpindi in Pakistan to Karbala 15 times on foot. 15 times on foot from the city of Rawalpindi, close to Islamabad, the capital, to Karbala, 15 times on foot. I know him personally. So there are people who love Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and there are people who go thousands of kilometers on foot in the love of Abi Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam, which has a lot of sawab, you know, afdal ibadat ahmazuha. The most superior ibadat is the one for which you have to face the biggest hardship to perform. So don't consider it to be something that you are losing. You are not losing anything. You are gaining every step of the way. You are gaining those highest rewards for the sake of Imam Hussain. Anything that you do for the sake of Imam Hussain Islam is azim. So this person is walking on foot. There's a person riding a camel going towards Makkah, and another person he met in the Sahara, in the desert, another person who's walking on foot. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Baytullah. He said, you're going on foot? He said, no, actually I have several markab, I have several means of transportation with me. He said, where is your markab? I don't see it. He replied, well, whenever a bala, a test comes in my way, I write the markab of sabr. That's my first means of transportation. Whenever I receive a ni'mat, a blessing from Allah, I write the markab of shukr. That's the second means of my transportation. Whenever I face the qada and qadr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means the divine destiny and His final decisions are faced by me, I write the markab of rida and pleasure upon Allah's decisions towards me. So this guy who was riding the camel, he said, well, actually I am walking without a markab and you are the one who are walking on the markab. Which is true if we realize the haqiqat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who have sabr. Sabr is a sifat which is extremely beloved in the eyes of Allah. Inna Allah yuhibbu sabireen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who have sabr. Inna Allah ma'a sabireen. Also Allah is along with the sabireen. If you have sabr in your life, you are not alone. Allah is with you. Well, sabr also, like several other concepts, have been misinterpreted by some ignorant people because their source of information was the source of disinformation. They did not learn Islam from Ahl Ulama, who are Ahl Taqwa and Ahl Al-Ilm. If they learned Islam and its concept from those who have Ahl Al-Ilm and Ahl Taqwa, they will never mess up in the concept. So we find that sabr has been misinterpreted by some people, is that you just stay silent and tolerate everything that happens. This is not the concept of sabr in Islam. In Islam, the concept of sabr means that you became steadfast and do istiqamat and resilience on the fariza towards Allah, and then in the path of istiqamat and resilience, when you face hardships from the zalimeen and the tahuts and all the a'da of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, you did not give in to their pressures and you continue doing what you are doing and continue facing the hardships from them and do sabr on your path and your fariza. This is the concept of sabr in Islam, which has been misinterpreted by some. Whatever happens, by the zalimeen, stay sakit and quiet because you are doing sabr, ignoring your fariza. This is not sabr anyway to begin with. But that's how some people misinterpret the whole beautiful concepts of Islam. And then they think we are doing sabr. You're not doing nothing of sabr. You do not even understand what sabr of Ahlul Bayt. Imam Hussain alayhi salam is sabr. Imam Hassan alayhi salam is sabr. Rasulullah is sabr. Amirul Mu'mineen is sabr. He did not give in, did not do the bay'at of Banu Umayyah or Banu Abbas. They are doing sabr. They did not compromise musawama, compromising on a single inch in their values towards zulm. This is sabr. So when you are doing that kind of sabr, then you must remember you're not alone. In Allah ma'as sabireen. Allah is along with the sabireen. So we find the hadith from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam that yeah, because it's important to remember what I said, because there are two types of Islams available. One is Islam which is tahut friendly. Tahut has nothing to do with that Islam. Tahut is okay with that Islam. You know, tahut, that Islam which can get along with tahut and kufr and zulm. That's not the Islam of Amirul Mumin alayhi salam. We are muftakhir. We are proud that we follow Amirul Mumin alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And nothing of their Islam supports the zulm. And nothing of the Islam of Amirul Mu'mineen can support the kufr. So So there is a Tawhid friendly Islam available. Thank you. And there is another Islam, which is Islam of Ahlul Bayt, which is Allah friendly, which cares about Allah, which cares about Adl, doesn't care about Zulm. So we find that Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam had said, yeah, our Maraji have been setting highest examples, like I always mention in my speeches. Ayatullah al-Uzma Sistani, hafazahullah, please recite a loud salawat for him. He did not compromise, he did not support any zalim, he did not even talk to any zalim in his life. Isn't that right? Up till this date, he did not agree to even talk to any zalim person over the phone for 1 minute. Look at the values and azamat of our great personalities. So Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam says that Munadi, an announcer, will announce, which I am paraphrasing all these narrations in my own words. An announcer will announce on the day of judgment, Aina Sabirun, where are the ones who did the sabr, so that they can enter into the paradise, into the jannat, without the hisab, without accountability. And a group of people will stand up and the angels are going to, angels will ask them, where are you going? And said, ila al-jannah, we are going towards the paradise. Angels will ask them, qabl al-hisab, you're going before the accountability? Man antum, who are you? And they will reply back, Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam says, they will reply back, nahnu sabirun, we are the ones who did sabr. So sabr, your sabr was on what? And they will reply, sabarna ala ta'atillah wa sabarna an ma'siyatillah, we did the sabr on the ta'at and obedience of Allah, and we did the sabr from the ma'siyat and sin towards Allah. So whenever it's not, and that's where the angels of Allah will reply back to them, this ayat of Holy Quran will be recited by the angels at that time. Salamun alaykum bima sabartum fa ni'ma uqbaddar. That's where the angels will recite this ayat of Quran. Salam on you for your patience. What a nice place, what a nice ultimate abode is this, in other words. So sabr on ta'at and sabr on al-ma'siyat. Well, sabr on ta'at and obedience is very high in the eyes of Allah. It's not easy. We are sleeping in the night, and then at the fajr time we have to wake up, isn't that right, to say our fajr prayers. So we have to give up our convenience and comfort and wake up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, Allah has said in his munajat to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, that this person who claims that I love me, he loves me, but he does not wake up for the Salatul Layl, he is lying, he is a liar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam that the word is not Salatul Layl, it's that somebody who doesn't wake up in the middle of the night to do khalwat with me. That means spend some time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in loneliness. Of course, we do dua and istighfar and tilawat, munajat and prayers, and of course we also do Salatul Layl when in doing the khalwat. But yeah, so basically, and then Allah says, Yabna Imran, to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Alaysa kullu muhibbin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be one of these. Alaysa kullu muhibbin yuhibbu halqata habibihi. Isn't that right, that every lover loves to be in the group of his mahbub and beloved, in the halqa, in the circle? every lover, of course, you know, a person who loves, he always wants to be in the circle of his beloved. So that's the way it is. Everyone who loves someone wants to be along and next to his beloved. And of course, being a mu'min, our beloved and mahbub is Allah. So we need to have some actions that show that our love is true towards him. So we find that sabr on ta'at and obedience is hard. Somebody is drowned in riba. There are people who are, you know, give away loan to their fellow mu'min brothers, and then they demand riba, interest on the loan. There are people, they are Shias, they are mu'mins who are like that. People who are drowned in haram. It's very hard to give away all the harams and the money that they have gathered from haram. That's not easy to do sabr on the ta'at of Allah. Uwais al-Qarani, rahmatullahi alayh, this great personality, Sahabi of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he was not a Sahabi, technically speaking, of Rasulullah, because he never met him in his life, but he was a Sahabi of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. This great person who had the high level love towards Allah and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, he used to love doing ruku, doing sujood. He divided his nights. This night is Laylatul Ruku. So throughout the night he's going to pray and he is going to perform lengthy Tulani Ruku. Tomorrow's night is the night of Laylatul Sujood, the night of Sajda. So throughout the night he's going to do long Sajda. So he's divided. Next night is Laylatul Qunut. The next night he's going to do long Qunut for the sake of Allah, seeking dua for the rest of the mu'mineen and mu'minat in our Islamic ummah. Just like Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha used to do. Praying for al-jar, ya bunayya al-jar summad dar. Praying throughout the night for the neighbors, for other mu'mineen and mu'minat, and not praying for herself. This is the seerat of awliya Allah. So we find that throughout the night till the sahar time he used to do the ruku, and sometimes the pigeons used to come and sit on the back of Uwais al-Qarani and he is busy in ruku. Just like the famous story of Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sheikh Hassan Ali Nukhuduki, rahmatullah alayhi, very great, one of the greatest urafa of our history, rahmatullah alayhi wa salamullah alayhi. This great person used to live in Mashhad of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and he used to come to the haram, and throughout the night he's praying. This khadim of the haram says, I went, the whole haram is empty, and I wanted to shut down the door of the haram. I went and saw Ayatullah al-Uzma Sheikh Nukhuduki is present there. He is doing ruku. I went there to say to Sheikh that, well, why don't you just take the key, because I have to lock the door. So when you end your prayers, you lock it and then you leave the haram. But I went there, I saw he's in the ruku, he's praying. So I could not say that, I just left. Because he could not stay for, Khadim could not stay for longer, he has to go, you know. So when he says, I came back to the time of Fajr, I saw that he was still praying, and it was, the snow came down and snow was falling on his back, but he was still busy in the ruku. So that's the seerat of awliya Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to have some tashabbuh and shabahat with them. So we find that doing the sabr on the ta'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not easy. Also, the sabr an al-ma'siyah, which has even a higher reward. If we encounter a sin, if we face a haram, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do that. Whenever we face haram in our life, we have sabr and resilience. We stick to our fariza and we ignore our hawa nafs, our khahishat nafsani, our personal wishes and desires. You know, and we go to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the highest level of sabr, and the highest level of reward is for sabr anil ma'siyah, which is 900 darajat are for there, for that. One of the great personalities, one of the awliyaullah, was saying that in my early young age, some of my friends took me towards a haram. And when I realized that that's what they want to do, I ran away from that place. I ran away, and of course that's not easy to escape from the scene of haram where you are able to do the haram easily, and you have some bad people who are asking you to do the haram, bad companions, musahabatul ashrar, which is condemned in our ilm al-akhlaq. So he said, I recall the qissa, the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. These are tests that we face in our life. Everybody has to face tests. This will be very silly for a mu'min to seek dua from Allah that, oh my Lord, don't give me any bala. This is one of those duas which is never mustajab. This is, silly for a mu'min to seek dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh my Lord, don't test me. Oh, Allah is going to test. You are asking Allah to go against Quran. Allah goes against His own Sunan Ilahiyya, His own principles. Allah is never going to violate His own Quran, His own principles that He Himself has set. So, وَلَنَبْلَوَنَّهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Isn't it right? It's a sunnah of Allah which is settled. It's there. He is never going to violate His own principles. لَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. You will never find a change in the sunnah of Allah. So it will be silly and himaqat of a person to seek dua from Allah. Oh my Lord, don't test me. Oh, this is not going to happen. So we better seek dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ihfazni bi rahmatika. Oh my Lord, protect me with your rahmat. That's what we need to seek the dua. Allahumma ihfazni bi rahmatika. So, because our nafs, our desires are the biggest enemy that we have. A person saw in his dream that he's fighting with his enemy in the dream. Big fight taking place against the enemy. And finally he cut his enemy's hand. And he woke up from his dream and he found that he's cutting his own hand. Yeah. One of the scholars was mentioning another dream that there was another person who saw in the dream that he's fighting with his enemy and he's about to take out the eye of his enemy's eye with his finger. And he woke up and he found that he's trying to take his own eye with his own finger. This is a lesson for us, because the biggest enemy we have is our own desires. Didn't the Holy Prophet say in his hadith that, أَعْدَ عَدُوِّكَ نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ. So we learn in the light of this hadith that the biggest enemy that we have, having the highest level of animosity against us, is our own nafs. Anything that we choose to do, nafs is all our opinions. And in the Western style, let me put that in the Western style of very open translation, open description, our own likes. That's what nafs is. Whatever we like to do in the presence of what Allah likes from you to do, in the presence of what Allah likes, if you want to do what you like, your own opinion and desires and wishes and whims, no matter how much intellectual it may sound to you, that's exactly what nafs is. hawan nafs. Look at the Holy Prophet, what he had prayed to Allah. Allahumma la takilni ila nafsi tarfata aynin abada. Isn't that right? Oh my Lord, don't surrender, don't give to me the charge of the affairs of my life for the blinking of an eye, tarfata ayn, for the blinking of an eye, fraction of a second. Isn't that right? You blink an eye in the fraction of a second. So Prophet is trying to say, in other words, that if for the smallest possible moment, don't give the charge of my life's affairs into my own control. Look, Prophet is ma'soom. He's ma'soom of the highest level. Somebody who never even performed tarkul awla in his life. Somebody who never even thinks of ma'siyat in his tafakkur, in his imaginations. He's saying, don't surrender the charge of affairs of my life into my control. So what about people like us? Where do we stand? So basically, it is important to remember, Allahumma la takilni ila nafsi tarfata aynin abada. So this, I was telling you the story of one of those awliyaullah, rahmatullah alayh, who said that in the early youth, young age, some bad people took me to doing a haram. And as soon as I realized that that's what they want, I ran away and escaped from that situation. And while coming back all the way to my house, of course, it was a very cold night, so I caught a fever. I came back, I said my Salatul Layl, night prayers, Namaz Shab. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided khair of dunya and akhirat to me. So whatever he got was because of that sabr anil ma'siyah that he did at that occasion when he was able to perform the sin. See, abstaining from harams in the young age has much more sawab and is much more important as compared to abstaining from harams in the elderly age. Elderly age, everybody is easily ready to become pious and mutadayyin and multazim when you are reaching the age of 90. Everybody realizes I'm going. And those who don't realize even in the elderly age, that's even worse. You know, the hadith of Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam says, "Man balagha al-arba'in wa lam ya'khudh al-asa faqad asa." Whoever reaches the age of 40 and did not take a stick, did a sin. Somebody who reaches the age of 40, وَلَمْ يَأْخُذِ الْعَصَىٰ, and did not take an asa, a stick, فَقَدْ asa, he sinned. What does Imam Ali alayhi salam means from the hadith? Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi in his tafsir, he was saying that what ihtimal and what Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam means is that asa is the kinaya and metaphor used for safar. When do you take asa in your hands? When you're about to travel. So if you reach the age of 40, and you are not prepared for safar al-akhirah, safar of akhirat, you have already reached the age of 40, but you are not prepared for that safar and travel of akhirat, you did a sin. You must be prepared for the safar of akhirat. Yeah, giving away the khums is difficult. There are so many people who have khums wajib on them. Did not give it. Let Imam Mahdi alayhi salam be waiting and waiting and waiting. Let Islam be waiting. How many books of the uloom of Ahlul Bayt could have been published from the khums money? And all those books are suffering and uloom of Ahlul Bayt are suffering, but this guy is keeping Imam Mahdi alayhi salam to wait for his personal reasons. And not ready to pay homes. So, this is Sabr Anil Ma'siyah. So we find Ayatullah al-Uzma Mirza Jawad Tahrani, rahmatullah alayhi, one of the very great personalities of our glorious Shia religion. In his home in Tehran, the scholars have mentioned, he has written this hadith and he was hanging this hadith in the living room in his home. This hadith of Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam. Actually from Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, where he has said that Al-Kamal, Kull Al-Kamal, At-Tafaqquh Fi-Din. See, every hadith is beautiful, but some of the ahadith are so jami' and so all-inclusive. It's a complete way of life. It's a complete summary of our policy of life. So Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam says, Al-Kamal, Kull Al-Kamal, At-Tafaqquh Fi-Din. That means the complete perfection and kamal is that you have tafaqquh in the religion. In-depth understanding. Al-Fiqh in Arabic, we say to Al-Fahm Al-Ameeq. In-depth understanding. At-Tafaqquh. That means in-depth understanding of the religion. Whatever you understand it fully, completely, deeply, not on the surface. So do one thing, but do it right. So the complete kamal, all of the kamal is that, let me say it like this, the entire kamal is that you have tafaqquh fi-deen, you understand the religion in depth. What is the meaning of taqiyyah? What is the meaning of tawadhu? What is the meaning of sabr? What is the meaning of hilm? What is the meaning of istiqamat? What is the meaning of jihad? Yeah. What is the meaning of haya min Allah? What is the meaning of haya min an-nas? What is the meaning of tawakkul? These are concepts. These are not simple things. These are concepts of Islam. So we have the correct understanding from the seerat. We have 12 examples. We have 13 examples in front of our eyes. Isn't that right? 13 among the 14 ma'sumeen alayhi salatu wassalam. We have 1-3 examples of their lives in front of us. 13 examples are not enough to understand what is the meaning of tawakkul, and what is the meaning of sabr, and what is the meaning of hilm, and what is the meaning of shuja'at and shahamat. This guy is a coward and they call him, he's doing sabr. Cowardice is not called sabr in the dictionary of Ahlul Bayt. This guy is is doing bukhl and they call him, no, he has qana'at. Bukhl is not qana'at in the dictionary of Ahlul Bayt. There has to be, you need to understand what is bukhl and what is qana'at. You need to understand where it is called shuja'at and where it is called, you know, jubl. There is a fine line in the seerat of Ahlul Bayt. Everybody cannot become Ali ibn Yaqeen. Ali ibn Yaqeen's name is very frequently used by some people for tamalluq of taghut. Ali ibn Yaqeen also worked in the darbar of Harun Rashid. So why are you stopping us? Oh, okay. So you are like Ali ibn Yaqeen. If you find mu'mineen who are on the darajatul iman of Ali ibn Yaqeen and Salman al-Farsi, rahmatullah alayhima, yes, that's very good. How often do you find mu'mineen in the Islamic community who are on the darajatul iman of Salman Farsi and Ali ibn Yaqeen? Everybody is on the daraja of Salman Farsi? Salman minna ahl al-bayt? Let's not misuse the concept. The same Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, who is allowing Ali ibn Yaqeen to work in the darbar of Harun al-Rashid, la'natullahi alayhi. First of all, Ali ibn Yaqeen used to work with the izn of the wali of his time, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam. In Arabic, we have a difference between izn and ijaza. We don't have no mutaradifat in Arabic. Every mutaradif is different from the other mutaradif. The difference between izn and ijaza is that izn has to be prior permission. Ijaza, you can take after the amal as well. But izn has to be prior to the action. There's a difference in Arabic between izn and ijaza. So, first of all, he was working with the izn of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, the wali of his time. Do you have izn from the wali al-faqih today? The answer to that is a big no. Isn't that right? So who gave you the license to take the law in your hand without fulfilling the very clear shart and condition of the fiqh of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam? You have to take the izn from the wali. Did you take the izn from the wali? No. First violation of the law for those who are doing tamalluq. The second violation is that the same Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam who was allowing giving the izn to Ali ibn Yaqeen, the same Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, when he finds, you know, Safwan ibn Mahran al-Jamal, who had the camels, he used to rent his camel to people, and he rented his camel to whom? Harun al-Rashid la'natullahi alayhi. And Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam met him and he said, كل شيء منك حسن جميل ما خلا شيئا واحدا. Everything of yours is good, beautiful, except one. And Safwan ibn Mahran is a mutadayyin and muttaqi person. He's not a bad person, he's a muttaqi person. Certainly he was a muttaqi person. He said he was very much anxious when he heard that statement from Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, كل شيء منك حسن جميل ما خلا شيئا واحدا. So Safwan ibn Mahran says, what is that one thing that I did wrong? He said, اقرأك جمالك من هذا الرجل. يعني Harun, you giving your camels to Harun. And he said, no, Yabna Rasulullah, I did not give my camels for haram. Harun Rashid was going for Hajj. Very common excuse. Very common excuse. I did not give it to haram. Isn't that right? I was doing a halal thing. He was going for Hajj. Now people don't understand that da'mut tahut, serving, supporting a tahut is also, you know, a bigger sin in Islam. Some people don't realize. So he said, I did not give him for a haram. Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam said that you have in your heart that he comes back safely. In other words, so that he can give the amount, the, you know, the rent of the camels to you. So Harun Rashid comes back from the Hajj trip safe and sound, and he's safe and secure, so at least he can pay back the rent of your camels to you. Isn't that right? You have it in your heart? He said, of course, that's why I gave the camel, to get the money, to make business out of it. Isn't that right? So Imam alayhi salam said that man ahabba baqa'ahum kana minhum. Whoever loves their survival of a taghut. You love in your heart that the taghut survives for one moment? You are part of him. You are one of them. Kana minhum. Wa man kana minhum kana walad an-nar. Whosoever is one of them, he's going to go with them in the hellfire. This is Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Sadaqa al-Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. He said the truth and nothing but the truth. The same Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam who allows Ali ibn Yaqeen is not allowing Safwan ibn Mahran to even give the camels to Harun for the sake of Hajj. What to talk of working as a job employee in his darbar? Because the daraja of Safwan ibn Mahran al-Jamal, his daraja of Iman is different than the daraja of Iman than of Ali ibn Yaqeen. So let's not mess up the law for the sake of dunya and hubbud dunya, you know, tamalluq of taghut, and our maraje are not even ready to talk to any zalim over the phone. There are so many people who are messing up the concepts of Islam for the sake of their dunya. They are not less number of people. So we find that I was telling you the hadith that Ayatullah al-Uzma Mirza Jawad al-Tahrani rahmatullahi alayhi, this great scholar, had been hanging in his living room, this hadith from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, saying that al-kamal kull al-kamal al-tafaqquh fi al-deen, the whole of perfection, the entire kamal is that You have in-depth understanding of the religion. وَالصَّبْرُ عَلَى النَّائِبَةِ, and having sabr and patience over the mushkilat, the troubles, the problems that a person faces in the life. In other words, وَتَقْدِيرُ الْمَعِيشَةِ, that basically our livelihood, our lifestyle is well balanced, well maintained according to the values of Islam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We live a life according to the values of Ahlul Bayt. What is their lifestyle? Let's have, you know, it's not that if I make more money, then, well, I get bursted up with my getting so much overly happy with my material gains. Just like a trigger-happy soldier. He starts, you know, pushing the trigger. The first time he holds a gun. You know. So my sudden gain of wealth doesn't make me violate the i'tidal and moderate behavior of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, you know, in their lives. And my poverty doesn't make me go towards kufr and denial. So the entire kamal is that we have tafaqquh fi deen and sabr and patience over the troubles that we face, and to basically manage and run and administer our livelihoods in the proper Islamic values and ways. So Imam Hussain alayhi salam, has set the highest examples of sabr in the history. Highest examples of sabr. Resilience. Being steadfast on his principles. Not even bending for a second. Not even thinking to compromise. Imam Salih alayhi salam said to Masma' that you live in Iraq, go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and participate. You go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain and you participate in the aza and you cry. He said, yes, Ibn Rasulullah, yes, I do. I, you know, go for the ziyarat. In other words, he replied, yes. Imam alayhi salam said, gave him the basharat and good glad tidings and good news that when you're going to depart from this world, I will come and ask the Malakul Maut to be merciful towards you. So the buka on Imam Hussain alayhi salam, if we participate, if we go for the ziyarat of Hussain ibn Ali alayhi salam, if we participate in the aza of Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam, if we cry over the mazlumiyat of Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, one of the benefits of this is that we have the shafa'at at the time of death towards the Malakul Maut. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are going to do the shafa'at. So of course we need to have the ma'rifat of the Imam. Sheikh Ja'far al-Shustari, this great mujtahid of ours had said that the sifat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam has no af'al al-tafdeel, you know, no superlative degree. So we cannot say that Imam Hussain alayhi salam's this sifat of his was higher and that sifat was lower. And this does not apply about Imam Hussain alayhi salam, you know, about him at all. None of his sifat has af'al al-tafdeel and superlative degrees and non-superlative tenses. This doesn't apply for Imam Hussain alayhi salam, because all of his sifat are afdal. All of his sifat are the most superior than anybody else. There's no comparison with Imam Hussain alayhi salam in any of his sifat. And likewise, all the masaib that Imam Hussain alayhi salam had faced has no afal al-tafdeel. All the masaib of his were great. You cannot say that this musibat of Imam Hussain al-Salam was less, and that musibat of Imam Hussain al-Salam was higher. No. All of his masaib were the greatest. We have never been through those situations to understand what is high and what is less. We never have a son like Ali ibn Akbar. We don't have a son like 6-month-old baby who is hungry and thirsty. We don't have it. We don't have my brother's son. I don't have my brother's son like Qasim ibn al-Hasan. I can't understand. We cannot understand. We cannot have a sister like Zainab. We don't have, so we cannot understand. So we find that all the masaib of Imam Hussain alayhi salam are of the highest nature, having all of his people, those companions and ashab. We don't have ashab like Imam Hussain. Inni la ara ashaban awfa min ashabi. I don't see companions more faithful than my companions. Certainly Imam Hussain alayhi salam's companions are the most faithful. So we don't have any Ahlul Bayt. Nobody has an Ahlul Bayt like his Ahlul Bayt. وَلَا أَهْلَ بَيْتٍ أَبَرْ وَأَوْفَى مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِ. And I don't see the Ahlul Bayt, in other words, who are more good doings, the good doers, and more faithful than my Ahlul Bayt. So nobody has people like him. Nobody has the sifat like him. But Ayatullah al-Uzma, Shaykh Ja'far al-Shustari, rahmatullah alayh, he used to say that there was one musibat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam which was higher than the others. Despite the fact we believe that there is nothing higher, nothing less, all are high, but one musibat is still higher, because he had the dalil and evidence for that in his opinion. He said, and that musibat was the atash and thirst of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Because he said that when Jibreel came to recite the musibat and the masaib, the musibat of Imam Hussain, the problems and the troubles of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, in front of the Anbiya and Prophets of Allah, Jibreel always recited the musibat of the Atash of Imam Hussain. When Jibreel came to recite the musibat in front of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, when Jibreel came to recite the musibat of Imam Hussain in front of Prophet Yunus when he was in the stomach, in the belly of the fish, when Jibreel came to recite the musibat of Imam Hussain to Prophet Musa on the Mount of Tur, whenever Jibreel comes to recite the musibat of Imam Hussain towards the Anbiya, he was reciting the musibat of the Atash of Imam Hussain. Imam Hussain Islam was so thirsty. And when he was about to start, when he did the wida, he did the bid the farewell to his family, and he finally, after the wida, he's leaving towards the maqtal, we find, and then he said, come see the fight of the one who is thirsty, come and see the fight of the one who is hungry. Imam Hussain is going towards the maqtal. Look at how he's fighting like Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam. People recall the fight of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam by looking at Imam Hussain. Look at the azamat of Hussain ibn Ali. His thirst is not stopping him from doing his sabr, his fariza towards Allah, no matter what comes in his way. He doesn't compromise. And finally, when he stops for waqafa, Sayyid ibn Taus says, فَوَقَفَ لِيَسْتَرِيحَ سَاعَةً وَقَدْ ضَعُفَ عَنِ الْقِتَالِ. Imam stopped for a while, to relax, and he got weak from the qital and the battle. Obviously, he had so many of the injuries. Some of the narrations say Imam Hussain alayhi salam has 1,110 injuries of sword. Somebody who has those many injuries on his body, it's very obvious that he's bleeding from his whole body. Isn't that right? So we find somebody who has so many of the injuries, and then when he relaxed, he stopped for a while to relax. All the forces came back. They retreated from all the sides.
The army of Umar ibn Sa'd rahmatullah alayh was running big time from Imam Hussein. But now that he stopped for a while, the army retreated back. And they started to attack Imam Hussein from all the sides, because Imam Hussein is alone. He already has raised his voice, Hal min nasirin yansuruna. Is there anybody to, any helper to come to help us? Hal min mughithin yughithuna? Hal min dhabbin yadhubbu an harami Rasulullah? Is there anybody to rescue us? Is there anybody to defend the haram of Rasulullah? But there is no response from the enemies. We find the response the enemy is now giving to Imam Hussein. Everybody is attacking Imam Hussein. Those who have a sword, they are attacking with the sword. You know, and those who have a spear, they are attacking with a spear on Imam Hussein. And those who have nothing are attacking with a stone. Throwing stone at Abi Abdullah alayhi salam. Remember, this is the same face with the Holy Prophet used to kiss so many times in his life in front of the Ashab. People were witness that the Prophet was kissing the same face of Imam Hussein, which is now subject to the attacks of the Ashqiyah. So we find for Asabahu Hajarun ala jabhatihi, and a stone came on his forehead. For akhada thawb liyamsaha dam an jabhatihi, he took his cloth to basically wipe the blood from his forehead. And that was the time when a three-pointed arrow, which was is asabahu sahmun masmumun zu salasa shu'ab, that was the time when a three-pointed poisoned arrow was thrown at the heart of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein al-Islam's heart was targeted with a three-pointed poisoned arrow. And for akhraj al-sahm, look at the shuja'at of Imam Hussein. For akhraj al-sahm an wara'i zahrihi fa kharaj ad-dam ka'annahu mizab. Imam al-Islam took that arrow out of his back, and the blood gushed out as if there is a spout of blood. So much blood is coming out from Imam Hussein's back. And after a while, and then he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, they are killing the person that there is no one other than him who is the son of Rasulullah. That means I am the only son of Rasulullah surviving on the planet. And you know that I am the one who is being killed. So he made Allah to be, he said that to Allah. And after a while, when the Zuljanah, the horse, realized that Imam Hussein cannot be standing any longer on the back, Zuljanah understood, the horse understood. So the horse kneeled down to facilitate the body of Imam Hussein to come down over the ground. The horse is kneeling down because horse has wafa and is faithful. It is kneeling down to facilitate Imam Hussein to come over the ground. But Imam Hussein didn't come over the ground. His body is still raised over the arrows. And finally, you know, we find that Sheikh Jafar al-Shustri rahmatullah alayh was saying that Imam Hussein fell down several times over his face. Because he's every time he's raising his face, but he again falling down on over his face. Why he was raising the face? Because he's looking at the enemies. The enemies were starting to attack over the Khiyam, over the Ahlul Haram. And Imam Hussein could not tolerate that in his lifetime the enemies can attack over the women. So Imam Hussein is looking towards that, and he's falling down several times over his face. Because he's so weak, he cannot stand. We find, Ya Shi'ata Ala Abi Sufyan, In Lam Yakun Lakum Deen, Wa Kuntum La Takhafoon Al Ma'ad, Fakunu Ahararan Fi Dunyakum. O the followers of Abu Sufyan, if you don't have a religion, according to certain narrations, Imam said, if you don't have a religion and you don't fear the day of judgment, at least be hur, at least be azad mard, at least be free people. You know, أُقَاتِلُكُمْ وَتُقَاتِلُونِي, I am fighting you and you are fighting me. فَإِنَّ النِّسَى لَيْسَ عَلَهِنَّ جُنَاهِ, the ladies have no fault. So look at the ghairat of Imam Hussein. How he's sticking to his principles. And finally, we find when he discovers that this is the fadilat time of the Asr prayers. This is the beginning time of the Salat. Remember, إنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين. Prayers is hard except those who have خشوع of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hussain alayhi salam is the muqim al-salat. As soon as he discovers this is the beginning time of Asr, he puts his head in the sajda. Bismillah wa billah wa fi sabilillah wa ala millati rasulillah.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين يا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please